Welcome back to Go Forth and Nerd. Fantasy, and all that good stuff. Today, I have with me the great, 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 great Courtney Blue. And if you don't know what she does, let me elaborate. Y'all ready? Events, conventions, food, fun, and awesomeness is pretty much what surrounds your lifestyle. Is that right? Is that right, madam?
Close enough.
Yes. If you guys don't know who Courtney is, she's also my wife.
Hello.
She also deals with all this cool stuff.
Yes.
On a daily basis. So, everybody already knows who I am. I talk about myself all the time, nonstop. So, who are you?
I'm Courtney Blue.
Okay.
I am a professional event producer.
Ooh.
I also am an on-air host of my own podcast, too. So,
what's the name of your podcast?
My podcast is Savage Media Radio. We have a whole network, so we have a whole bunch of shows for everybody.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's cool. Okay. Now, like, I didn't know that. I'm just doing this for people who are listening. But, okay. So, that's... Okay. So, you kind of dabble in all things awesome, right?
I try.
Okay. So, what else do you do besides...
You mean, like, for leisure?
Yeah, so like, oh no, okay, so you do have the conventions, and that seems to be the main piece of bread that you work on, but I don't know that for a fact. So let's say, you have your podcast, right? But when you have your podcast, are you creating everything for your podcast, or is it just you? Do you work by yourself and with a team, or is it?
There's actually five of us. Okay. Unfortunately, one of our hosts has decided to move on, so we have five of us to start off with, six of us, which was, they're all really great guys. We're all split up throughout the country, so essentially I run the system. All
right.
I do all the production, so I put all the songs in. And I, you know, we have different songs for different segments. So I put all the songs in. I make sure the sound is good. I run the interface that we use. We use a Spreaker for our podcast. So I run the Spreaker system, which is a desktop app. So it's just basically me running all of the kind of back end stuff. And then the five of us all together collectively host the show. So I actually get heard a little bit less than everybody else, so everyone else kind of has their own. I gave them their own shows because they all have these great ideas, and I kind of wanted to take care of the back end and make sure everything runs smoothly, so you guys hear me every now and then.
Okay, see, that's the cool stuff. Okay, so now anybody who's listened to your podcast will automatically know, oh, okay, this is Courtney. Mm-hmm. So, but for the people who don't know you, what are some of the things that you like to do? Like, what are your hobbies? What are things that you enjoy? Now, I know you have the convention, but is this something that, like what's your passion? Like, what do you center yourself around?
I don't know. I like people getting to know who I am, and that's kind of why I do both sides of my careers, my podcast, and my events, because I get to be very creative and kind of show my personality and my passion and just what, like, I get to serve people in both aspects of it. So I think my hobby would be just getting to know people and bringing people together and having a good time and just being creative all at the same time. So I like to think of myself as an artist. I don't draw. I don't make music, but I create things, and I like creating things from scratch. So anything, if I've never done it before, if it involves doing something from beginning to end and making something out of nothing, that's what I do. That's my passion. So I like to do crafts. I like to do, like, outside of my podcast and my business, I like to do crafting, building things, just creating things, and just ultimately planning something from scratch is kind of what I like to do. So if anything in the world has to do with that, that's what I'll do.
Okay. Now, you did say that you run shows. So what are how are the shows run? Like, that's your main thing. So what is that? How do you do that? Like, what goes into that? What? Because I know it's a lot. Because you're running a whole show. You're putting together a big event for a whole bunch of people. Now, what goes into that? What are your things that you go into, like, knowing, like, when you're putting stuff together, certain demographic of people that you're looking for, like, what are the main things that you focus on when making an event?
It depends on the show. Basically, it starts with us developing an idea. I have a great team. I have, like, a well-oiled machine, so we all kind of come up with an idea, come up with what kind of event we want to host. We'll do either a festival or a convention or, you know, just some type of pop-up event for, you know, that has some kind of theme. But we all collectively kind of group together all our ideas and then kind of iron it out. And then we think of a title. And the first thing that goes into it is branding. So we think of, like, the colors we want for the logo and how we want it to look and how we want to market this. And then once we get that all together, we call that our marketing package. We go from there and then we promote the show. We, you know, sell tickets, you know, put up the whole event on a whole bunch of ticket, you know, revenue websites like Eventbrite or Paper Bag or things like that, just so we can get the event out there and sell tickets. So we do that all while promoting the event. And then ultimately it comes down to us coordinating the event on the day of. So it takes a whole team and some for us to just kind of make sure everything's running smoothly. We take care of the vendors. You know, all the logistics have been planned out. A lot of our events include special guests. So we have to make sure they arrive on time. They're taken care of. And it's just like a whole smorgasbord of responsibilities, but it's so rewarding because then you see people having a good time at your show. So what we always market ourselves as is a full service event production company. So unlike a lot of event management companies, they have someone who has the idea and brainstormed already and did all of that for them. And then they come in and they kind of, you know, just manage and make sure everything goes good or coordinate it. Organizers. We basically do everything. We're the promotion. We're the marketing. We're the brand ambassadors. We are the coordinators.
Right.
You know, we're the face of everything. So that kind of is what makes us unique. But it is a lot of work. It just, you know, it works.
Right.
We make it work.
Right. Now, you do the events, but you operate behind, you operate in another business. Now, you do your Cycle Scene events, like, as a total, but you are working on Philly Comics and Cosplay Day as one event.
Yes.
But you also have other events that you're working with as well. Do you want to elaborate on any of those?
Yes, we actually have a lot of events in the works. So, basically, our company is Cycle Scene Events. The reason why we thought of the name is a very long and a confusing story, but that it stuck and people love it. So that's our business name and the umbrella that we do all our events under. So when you are an event producer, you have to have a business that you run out of. You can name the events whatever you want, but you have to have something on the books, like a name on the books. So that's our name. But we have events, you know, we're working currently on kind of expanding and kind of going in different sectors of it. So we're trying to go into, like, outdoor festivals, and we're trying to go into more, you know, conventions of different types.
Okay.
So right now we're working on a music festival, which is basically my dream. I always say that once I do a music festival, I know I've arrived, because that's like since I was a kid, I love music and I love the production that goes into, like, music, live music, venues, and when I watch the Super Bowl performances, I'm always envious because I'm like, I want to control that. Right. I know it's not a one person job, but I want to be the person that creates the whole ultimate idea and then has the well-oiled machine behind it making it happen. So I've always wanted to do that. So we're working on a food truck festival right now. We're currently looking for sponsors, so hopefully we can get that kind of in the works. yes, it's a shameless plug. If anybody wants to help us out, we're awesome. We won't take your money and run. Please help us out. That'd be great. But no, we're trying to look for, you know, some sponsors because we want to, basically, we want it to be a New Jersey-based food and music festival. So we will have food trucks and we'll have music. We want to kind of focus around a showcase of, like, tri-state area-based bands, like local bands, a big headliner. So if we do get a sponsor, a lot of that portion would go towards a headliner. So, you know, that brings the heads. But we also want to make sure that we give the local talent a platform to kind of get their, you know, talent out there. Because it's hard for artists nowadays. There's so many of them. So we want to make sure that they have the opportunity. And it's actually going to be a two-day show. We primarily do a lot of one-day pop-up shows, but we want to make this a two-day show so that it's more like, if you can't come on Sunday, you come on Saturday. Okay. You know, if you, if you don't want to come for one band, if you don't like the set list on one day, you can come on the next day. So we're kind of making it like a bigger event than normal.
Okay.
Also to showcase a bunch of bands. We want to have three stages going on at one time. We want to have bands on each stage. Mm. And then some, attractions and vendors and just a good fun time. So we're trying to go into that sector because that's, We're in a hipster country, and a hipster country is surrounded around festivals and good times and good vibes. So we want to go in that direction because that's where the market is going, and that's ultimately what we're kind of putting our focus on.
So we're definitely
we're planning. It's called Jersey Alive. Most likely that's going to be the name for.
Okay.
So we're good. We're good with that. So when we know more information, we'll definitely pass it on to everybody so we can, get the ball rolling.
Okay. And that sounds absolutely awesome. I think everybody is definitely excited for that. That sounds really cool. Now, me personally, I'm a nerd myself. I dig all stuff like comic books and all that stuff, video games, all that stuff. So, I think Jersey Life sounds awesome, but what I'm really interested in is this Philly Comics and Cosplay Day. So, I personally have been to a multitude of your shows, and I already know how they work, and I already know how they operate. I've been in there, deep within the web, running around, sweating, but...
And met some cool people. You have some cool friends now.
I have some really cool
friends.
You're
welcome.
Guys, listen, hey, I'm going to let you know something. My phone contacts are lit.
They're
lit. But, not saying they contact me. But anyway, how does that work out? Like I know you got this one going on, you're planning that one. Do any of those seem to butt heads at all? Do you see any conflicts with that stuff? Are you finding a hurdle when it comes to that kind of stuff?
No, only because I'm always coming up with ideas, and I always try to sift through my mind which ones make the most sense. And we also try to spread things out enough where it's not, cumbersome at all. Right now we have a small team of about 9. I think I want to grow to about 12 or 13 by the end of the year, but we have a small team. We do also operate with volunteers, so we have about 20 volunteers around then. So I don't want to overwhelm anyone.
Right.
And my team is wonderful. Like, they've been with me since the beginning, and they're so dedicated, and they're awesome, and I don't ever want to feel like I'm asking too much. So at this point, we try to spread out events, but we also want there to be, constant revenue. We also want there to be a following, and you have to have content to have a following.
Correct.
So right now I kind of want to keep it to like 4 events a year, hopefully, by the end of the year. But as far as I'm like colliding or bumping heads, no. Not that I mean to, but a lot of our fan base for the different shows are separated. So it's really cool in a way because you get to see certain people for this event that are more local to that that have an interest in that as opposed to our comic convention.
Right.
Maybe they'll enjoy, festivals more.
Right.
We did a Halloween show,
If
I ever do a Halloween show again, more people gravitate towards Halloween that are maybe don't do comics. Right. So, which is pretty cool. So I don't see that there's a conflict at all.
Yeah.
It just makes it more exciting that we're growing and that we're doing so many things, and it's just like it just shows growth. So to me it's a positive.
All right. Well, talk to us a little bit about your last show. I know your last show it's been a while, but how was it with developing it? How did that all work out? What did you do? What are the steps that you took to develop that one overall? Because I think this was what the third year?
Yeah, it was the third year for our Philly Comics and Cosplay Day, which is our comic convention. It's like a smaller to mid-sized convention. We're hoping to grow it more to a mid to large convention, and it's on its way up. It went really well. It was in March. It was at the end of March. And what's great about it is it's right before con season. So it gives people in the local area especially something to look forward to when their giant convention is the very next month. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool because it's very affordable. It's not something that's like going to break their bank to do it right before a giant convention.
Right.
And it's refreshing for them, and it kind of gears them up. They get to try out cosplays that they're looking to like unveil at the large conventions where all their friends and family are.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives them like a practice run.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, it's pretty cool. But as far as how it went and how it, you know, how it kind of came together, just like any convention, we basically grew it from scratch. It's the third year. So first year was great. Second year was great. Third year was our biggest year, of course, because we're, you know, continuously growing. We had some really big heads, great, celebrity guests, wonderful, like, array of vendors, you know. Vendors is really kind of like the bread and butter of everything, so I always make sure to take care of them.
Yeah.
And they were all so supportive and so, like, dedicated, and they had a great time. But overall, it turned out well. We had a bigger headcount than normal, and it's definitely paved the way for, hopefully, like, an even bigger year next year. We're also looking for sponsors, too. So.
Another one hit.
Calling sponsors.
But another thing about Philly Comics and Cosplay Days, I noticed that, and I've been to a few conventions myself, and I've gone to some cons, and that's not to throw any slack, but... one thing I've noticed about your convention is a little different in terms of how celebrities are approached.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, like, most of the time when I go to bigger cons, I notice that the celebrities are in the back and they say, hey, listen, no photos.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, that to some extent, that's how it should be.
Because, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They want to get paid for the, you know, the photos and the signings. Uh-huh. But with our convention, with your conventions, rather, I noticed that... the celebrities are out a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking around. They're just talking with people. And people get to walk up to them, shake their hands. Mm-hmm.
Greg Sykes. And Dana Snyder,
yes. So, two great people, Beast Boy and...
Master Shake.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I'm still reeling from the event. You had two great people at your event. And...
Five in total,
yes.
Five special guests. And I must say we had 25 special guests, but we had five headliners, I should say.
There you go.
All of our guests are special and important in their own regard, but we had five headliners.
Even the vendors, too, I want to say that. Even you had some great vendors. But what I really wanted to touch on was the fact that there was even a point during the convention where Greg Sipes came from his table, right, and walked into the video game section. Sat down and played video games with people he knew nothing about. But I think that added a little bit to the convention.
Mm-hmm.
And it made it memorable for some people around. Now, is that stuff that you plan on happening during your event? Or is this something that just happens and people are like, oh, I'm just comfortable, whatever. Take off my socks and shoes.
I think it's more something that just happens just because of the community. The community is very respectful overall. I noticed in Philadelphia and Pennsylvania in general, the state of Pennsylvania, very respectful, very calm, very approachable people. And I feel like the guests don't feel like they're in any kind of danger. They're not, they're not rabid fans that are just trying to pull their clothes off. It's not, you know, it's not a big pandemonium going on everywhere where you have to worry about that. But we always stick somebody on the person, though. Like, when as soon as Greg Sipes walked away, I was like, no, I'm going to get my guys. And then after a while, he kept saying, no, I don't need anything. He was walking to the green room by himself. And it's all because of just the people are just so overall respectful and calm that you kind of can feel it. You can feel the aura in the environment. And that's also why I enjoy doing that show, because it's more of a community. It's more of like an experience, and I don't want people to think of it as an icy cold con, because a lot of cons are very cookie cutter, you know, and they're very where it's in a convention center that's not always inviting. It's just basically a convention center.
Right.
We put it in a lot of very unique locations, like we had in a university, because it's more intimate and it's more comfortable, and people just feel like they can just roam.
Yeah.
In convention centers, you know, there's lines, there's sanctions, there's directives everywhere.
Right,
and where we have it, where it's more free roaming, we have rules. We have, you know, things posted up saying, don't do this, don't do that, because it's the law, one.
Right.
There's codes, two. And we want to protect our celebrities. Their safety and their comfort is, like, of utmost importance, because they're here for us. You know, they came all this way from, most of the times they're from the other side of the country. So they came all the way here for an experience of their own.
Right.
Not only are they creating experiences by signing people's autographs and taking pictures, they're coming over because they're enjoying their time. You know, this is their career. It's also their leisure. So We always want to make sure that they're comfortable. But, you know, we try to approach it differently. Because I've gone to cons, and not to say anything's wrong with them, they're beautiful, especially the larger ones. Phenomenal. They have a lot of guests, a lot of great content.
Right.
But it's just the atmosphere is usually similar to a lot of other cons.
Right, well, you want to deviate from the norm. Which is fine. And, you know, I have to say that I don't think that your con would be considered a con. It's more of like an experience, and I think that a lot of people take it as that, and that's good. But great convention, loved it, cool, had a great time. New York Comic Con is coming up. Okay.
Yes. No. Yes. Guys, make sure you do your fan verification.
Because
I almost forgot, and I didn't look at the email. But then I verified everybody, so make sure you go and do that, because they don't play.
Fan verification for Comic Con. It's real things. Man, oh
it's
my
heavy.
Gosh.
So go and do it. It's real quick. Takes 2 seconds. If you haven't done it already,
I think if you weren't fan verified already, then you have to wait until
after the pre-sale,
I didn't read the email, but I verified as soon as I got it, because I was not beat.
So if you're in the East Coast area, New York Comic Con is awesome. Highly recommend it. Reed Pop is a phenomenal company. They are my inspiration for this. I strive to be as large as Reed Pop. Please go and support them. They're doing a great job. Please head out to New York Comic Con. Oh, one more thing. I want to throw out that there's going to be Keystone Comic Con in Philadelphia, which is going to be just like New York Comic Con. I heard that it's going to be just as much fanfare and awesomeness, so check that out. I believe it's September 24th or August 24th. Please definitely check that on me, because I'm not too sure which date it is. It's in August or September, but I would highly suggest going to Keystone Comic Con in Philadelphia. The Philadelphia Convention Center. Check it out.
Okay. Right. Nice little plugs there.
I try.
Right. So, is there... Okay. So we got your conventions. We know you do this stuff. What is your end-all goal? What are you trying to get to?
Music festivals.
So you just want to end at music festivals?
I think that's my overall inspiration.
Like, overall, like, end-all, be-all, you want to end at food. You just want to end at a music festival. Like, that's just it.
Not end. That's just my goal.
Okay.
But if I were to end, like, if I were to die the day after I did a music festival, I would have fully lived and I would have no regrets. That's basically...
Okay.
Basically what I mean.
Okay. But here's the next question. If you had your music festival, right? You have your music festival, you're good, and you don't need nothing else. Do you still do the other conventions?
I mean, it depends on if they're growing. I mean, it's always it's an ever-changing industry, so you just follow the market. For all I know, the trend may change, people may stop going. I mean, that's just reality, so I have to kind of be ever-changing along with my business, so, and I would love to, I would hope that, you know, especially the ones that are continuously growing year to year, I would love to just keep them going, because nobody wants to give up, but, you know, sometimes you have to just go with the flow. But if it came to where, like, I was focusing on a huge music festival, and, like, I was devoting all my attention, I would never put things to the wayside. I would have probably, like I said, I have a well-oiled machine, and by then, I know these guys are going to be by my side, and they're going to have my back. They're going to be leading their own teams. You know, I want them to be able to have projects of their own. So I would love to have different things going on in different parts of the country. You know, having my teams run these different shows where I would oversee things and focus on big, big, giant, like, multi-thousand people, you know, in attendance shows. That's where I would put my actual, like, physical energy, but I would always have the same amount of devotion for each show, because that's just the way it is now. Like, a one-day show that I only do once every 5 years is just as important to me as a show that's been growing for years and years and years. So I always keep my devotion and my attention, but I would definitely work on a larger show with my full, like, bodily, you know,
full essence, right?
Yeah, essence. Because I'm only one person.
Okay.
So,
okay. One more thing I want to say, one more thing I want to talk about. Now, you don't really acknowledge this much, but I think it's a big, 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 major, major deal that you're doing this all on your own, correct? correct? No, let me stop. You're not doing this all on your own. You have a team with you, mm-hmm. but you are the headliner. You what started it. You came up with this. Mm-hmm. Now, but not only did you do this on your own, you're a woman mm-hmm. who's making her own push forward herself, mm-hmm. doing this by herself with her own power. Not only that, you're African American. Mm-hmm. So does that play a role in what you do? Do you even acknowledge it, but is it something that empowers you more to do what you do? Or is it just the people that empower you? What is it exactly?
I don't classify myself. I just kind of am just one of them. Right. I'm always been like that. I don't really think of that as like a driving point. I more think of it as just like, I'm a person who has decided that this is going to be my career.
Right.
I need to focus on how to obtain the things I want and how to, knowing who I am and knowing that it is difficult for who I am to prosper in business, period. It's just the way it is.
Right.
I already went into it with the love, with the head that I was going to do whatever it took. So, I don't really ever think about it, but now that it's been brought to my attention, I feel like, you know, I feel pride because it is hard, and especially in this industry, it's a very male-driven industry, and it's a very older Caucasian male-driven industry. You know, the average age for a producer in this country of the bigger shows that are influential, like, you know, the New York Comic Cons or the Big Apple Comic Cons or things like that, they're older gentlemen. They're usually in their 40s. Mm. They're usually Caucasian, and they're males. Right. So it's very unique for a person, you know, of my stature, my ethnicity. You know, I came from a Muslim background too. So that's even like for Muslim and pop culture is like such two different worlds.
Right.
So for me to be involved in pop culture conventions and just things with my upbringing and my ethnicity and all that, it's just, it's a unique, I guess, a unique melting pot. So I take that as more like, yeah, I did this. And, like, I'd say that once and I just keep moving forward.
Correct.
Until I get that, yeah, I did this moment again. So that's kind of, like, how I feel. I don't classify myself because once I start doing that, I feel like I did this and I'm a woman.
And, yeah, exactly.
I did this.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I, you know, and yeah, I'm African American. Yeah, you know, I'd rather just be, I did this.
Right.
And so I can be proud of myself for that and that alone and not let my culture, my ethnicity, my race define my success.
Right. So I can totally respect that. I mean, I think that's the best way to take it. I don't think that you should take it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, in my opinion, it seems like wherever you go, you're making great events and people seem to like your events.
Thank you.
Right. Well, people seem to like your events and it definitely shows within the people. So that's good. Well, that's about it. It's been about 20 to 30 minutes, something like that, 28 minutes. But regardless, guys, thank you very much for listening to the podcast.
We got to have you on ours. We got to have you guys both on ours.
Oh, me and Jesse? Yo, yay. Listen, Jesse's not on the podcast. I forgot. Jesse, where you at, man? No. I just took the stand-in for Jesse today.
You didn't even explain it to the people.
But yeah, I know. I forgot, man. I should have said it in the beginning. I'm going to edit it all in the beginning.
It's
I'm just going to say
it's
it.
It's too late now.
Yeah, Jesse was never in this podcast. Jesse was never a part. Jesse,
they'll find it out. They'll find out in the caption.
In the caption.
So
we'll put it in the caption. In the description below, like a YouTube video. Subscribe. But no, guys, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Now, Courtney, thank you for coming down.
Thank you, AKA Coco.
thank you very much for coming down. Thank you very much for taking the time out to do the podcast. Do you have any social handles that people can contact you on?
I have many.
Hey, listen, we got about 10 minutes left. So give us what you got.
I have 10 minutes worth of handles.
Yes.
No. If they want to get to know me and just me, they can find me on Instagram at It's Coco Blue.
Okay.
Spelled just like it sounds.
Okay.
It's Coco Blue. And then I'm on Facebook. Please, I love Facebook. Be my Facebook friend. My whole life's on Facebook. I'm an open book. So find me. It's just Courtney Blue, Courtney without a U. Blue Like the Color. Mm-hmm. You'll find me. I'm somewhere in there. I'm somewhere out of the three people that come up. if you want to know anything about our business, you can find us at Psycho Scene Events on Facebook. And Psycho Scene Events, which is very long for an Instagram handle, but that's our Instagram handle. And then Psycho Scene Cons at Twitter.
Yeah.
And then if you guys want to check out our podcast, I must advise that it is explicit, but we have some really awesome content. You can check us out at Savage Media Radio on Facebook and Savage Media Radio Network on Facebook and Savage Media Radio on Instagram as well. So lots of handles.
Lots and lots.
You can find me one of those ways. You can just slide in my DMs and I'll answer your questions.
Don't slide in my DMs. But yes, thank you very, very much for coming down.
No,
it's much appreciated.
Thank you for having me.
Yes,
tell Jesse I said hi. He'll hear this back.
Jesse, what's up, man? So yes, guys, you can find me on Instagram at ITZKBLUE. It's K Blue on Instagram and on YouTube as Captain Blue. Revamping a new YouTube channel for myself. And Jesse, you can find him everywhere. Jesse is the reason why you're listening to this podcast. So if you don't know how to contact Jesse, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know how you got here in the first place. But thank you guys very much for listening. Have a good one.
Bye.
I can look into the stars.